Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where I am your host, Dr. Happy Leah Killings. Whatever you call me a child of God. And I'm so excited to be here on this wonderful, wonderful Monday, one we've never seen and one we never will never see again. And then today is an awesome day because it is the first day of spring. Now, for some of y'all, y'all love the spring because it's, what is it, spring showers, spring May flowers, or April showers, whatever the saying is. But spring is supposed to be full in life and all things bloom and come to to their beautiful point of budding and all that. But it is scary for me because pollen, amen. But nevertheless, it is a season that really demonstrates the beginning of life. And so we can't shun that. We have to just deal with some of us that have to deal with pollen. But nevertheless, I'm excited that today is the first day of spring and that we can look over our shoulder at the winter because it's gone, because many times things die and fall off in the winter. So praise God, it's a new beginning. And so thank God that you are here with me on tonight, and I'm looking forward to God giving us an inspiring word to help us understand why it's so important for us to spring into him. Amen. So for those of you that are just tuning in, or this is your very, very first time joining Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, I am your host, and my goal for tonight is to make sure that we say something that's encouraging, that we say something to educate you. It may not be a brand new topic, but one that you can expound on to learn a little bit more about yourself. And then, praise God, once you figure out whatever it is that God would have you to do with the information, that you be empowered to make the necessary changes and then empower yourself to share it with someone else. So our theme and our goal for Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio is to encourage, to educate, and empower, all to the glory of God, so that we can be better people. Amen. And so, again, if you're brand new, welcome, welcome, welcome. We're on every Monday night at 9 p.m. And so you just come back each Monday night. And then, praise God, if you miss, you can always listen to the pre-recordings, because we have recordings up to, can you believe it, 9 years. And so for those of you that have been with me, that are my I don't want to say ride and die, ride and live, amen. People that have been with me for, praise God, almost 9 years. Can you believe that? We've been doing this. And so I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for you empowering me. I'm grateful for you keeping me encouraged and letting me know when things are going too far to this way or going too far to that way, for me to expound a little bit more, for me to do whatever it is that God has laid on your heart to share to me. I am grateful for that, because it helps me become better so that I can always stay encouraging, so that I can always educate myself, and then I can always be empowered to do what is necessary, and that is to share the gospel. Now, that wouldn't have been possible in this arena or area of teaching if it hadn't been for the Mega Ministry Group. And so I will always, always, always give Jesse and Tammy Store a major shout out, because if it hadn't been for them, their encouragement, their prayers, and their encouragement, and that, most important, their influence to do what God has called us to do no matter what, and to be an example. And so I'm always, always grateful for them. We'll always give them a major shout out. Now, our greatest and our best shout of praise has to go to God, because without him, none of this would be possible. We wouldn't be possible. So we always want to make sure we start the broadcast off with a nice upbeat song that gets me in the mood, because when Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. Amen, amen. And then I acknowledge you before we go into the lesson, and we start it with prayer. So dear Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your wonderful blessings. We thank you, Father, for being God all by yourself. We thank you, Father, that you need no help, but you have all the help that we could possibly need, and all we have to do is ask. And so we thank you, Father, for providing all the provisions that you have given us so that we can get your help, that we can walk uprightly in your favor and in your goodness, because we strive to do and be like you. Now, I thank you, Father, that, again, these resources that you've left us, your word that shows us what to do, how to do it, when to do it. We thank you, Father, that it gives us understanding in areas that we just have no clue. We thank you, Father, that even when we read and don't understand, you provide the Holy Spirit that gives us a nudge and shows us how to get a better understanding, whether it's by going to someone or listening to a wonderful ministry on the internet or on TV or wherever you have shown up, Father. We thank you for the Holy Spirit being there to help us, to give us a proper understanding. And most importantly, Father, we thank you for Jesus and the blood that was shed on our behalf. Not only does it protect us and gives us the keys to eternal life, but it gives us the protection that we need to live in this system. So we just thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for all the things that you've done and the things that you're doing and will do in our lives. Now, Father, as we go into this lesson, make me invisible, Father, so that you can be visible, so that we can all gain and learn, so we can all be encouraged, so we can all learn something and be educated about your word, and most importantly, Father, be empowered to be obedient to your will and your way that you have for all of us. Father, we love you, we honor you, and adore you, and we thank you that someone will be inspired, not just today, but anybody listening 2, 3, 4, 5 months, 5 years from now listening to this broadcast. We just love you, we honor, we adore you, Father, and it's in Jesus' name. We thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you're just tuning in, this is Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, whatever you want to call me a child of God. But I'm excited that you're here with Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, because we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And so last week I had a nice, wonderful guest from the Cancer Treatment Center of America, the president and CEO of the Atlanta branch. And so I was so excited that he was on and we talked about hope. And in the process of talking about hope, there was a couple of notes that I had prepared that I wasn't able to really go into. And so over the week, just different things happened over the week. And then I have said many times that I have this wonderful encourager that sends me messages weekly, or daily, I should say, for that matter. And then through that and all the things that I had been encountering through the week, it dawned on me that sometimes we get in the way when God does things for us. And so if I had to name this particular broadcast what God gave and laid on my heart to share on tonight, it would be pray and get out the way. Pray and get out the way. And why is that so significant? It's significant because sometimes we think that God needs a little help. And that's why I always say, or often say, that God, I am grateful that you are God all by yourself. You didn't need us. You don't need us. Amen. You use us. But praise God, you know everything, and you have control, and you have the power to do anything. And so we love when we read that all authority belongs to you, because you are the creator of all things. And I think sometimes, Lord, we forget that. And so, saints, we forget that everything belongs to God. And if it belongs to God, why don't we go to him when we need something changed or something fixed? Why do we go to sister and them and brother and them and so-and-so and them? Why don't we go to God first? And so the reason why, and it's unfortunate, but it's basically the principle that is kind of the ruler against the authority of God, and it's called rebellion. And what is rebellion? Rebellion basically is a resistance to or defiance of any authority, control, or tradition when we're just fighting against it. Rebellion can be an attitude. It can be anything that we're doing that contradicts authority. And so we know that we're not unique to that, because Adam and Eve, praise God, in the beginning of creation, God told them and gave them instructions on what they were supposed to do and what they weren't supposed to do. What did they do? Of course, they were influenced, but nevertheless, they made that conscious decision to rebel against God. So how do we overcome rebellion and really operate in the obedience that God says? Well, most of it is because we pray and we ask God to help us, but we get in the way. And so that's why it's important for us to pray and get out of the way. So what is the ultimate goal that God would prefer for all of us to do? God wants us to trust and to follow him only. And we can only do that when we do it faithfully. Now, there are times that we pick and choose when and how we want to be faithful to God. And so that is so not right. But we do it. And why do we do it? Because of all the ailments and all of the things that we have that distract us. I was studying for the lesson today. And I don't know if many of you have seen this movie, but Golden Child was on TV. And so the volume wasn't up, but I watched that movie so many times that I kind of got caught up and got distracted. And so I found myself in the midst of my study to get up and get the remote to turn the volume up so I could recite the line. Praise God, I've been so used to quoting that movie in the past. And so before I knew it, a few moments had gone by, then 30 minutes went by, and almost an hour. And I thought, oh, my goodness, Lord, I've been enticed and entangled by Satan to get me distracted from studying the lesson. So I had to put the TV on pause. And then, praise God, my TV if you keep it on pause for a long time, it'll just pop on. And so even saying that, I know that that was God, because it was probably about time for it to blast, and it would have blasted out loud in the middle of this. That's why you just have to trust God, because he knows. And so he'll lead you in different positions. I put my keys down somewhere a couple of days ago, and I knew I shouldn't have put them there, because we have a hook that we put them on. And praise God, I walked past the hook, brought them to my bedroom for whatever reason. And where I put them, I would have never found them, because my bedroom is not as tidy as I would like for it to be. But nevertheless, where I set them, I would have never got to look there. But there was something on the shelf that I thought I might have needed, but God led me there because I could see that if you trust and are obedient to the things of God. Now, granted, like I said, our flesh is weak. Our flesh is weak. But God knows that our spirit is willing, so he gives us, in his grace and his mercy, he helps us. And so we just got to make sure that we don't have a rebellious spirit. We can rebel, but we don't have to operate in that rebellion. So we overcome that, of course, by praying and by doing the things that God has called us to do, and why it's so important for us to be obedient. Now, one of the coolest things that I love about God's authority is that because he is the creator of all things, he made it so. I often think, too, you know, being a teacher and being a long-term, and my sister would say, a lifelong student of studying, but I love definitions. But nevertheless, God's authority, how he provided definitions. Can you believe it? Like, how do we know that these definitions are real definitions? I mean, they're in a book, but who authorized the payment? So it always intrigues me how God lined everything up with his words, and he established these words. And then someone came along and put meaning to these words, and they all still flow with the things of God. Amen. I get real deep sometimes. But nevertheless, there is two types of authority that this particular study that I studied shared. There is direct authority and delegated authority. And God wants us to be obedient to both. Direct authority means that God is telling us directly, either through his word or through the Holy Spirit, what he wants us to do. And then delegated authority means that God has designed certain people or certain things to represent him for us to exercise his authority. So God does not only want us to personally to follow him, but he also wants us to be obedient to his delegated authority. So who are some of the people that he designed to be delegate authority? Well, for you children, parents, school teachers, for us big people, police officers, government officials, ministers, just your boss, anybody that's in authority that God has placed you. Now, I have to put a little comma here. This is where you're supposed to be, because many of us are in situations on our jobs and stuff that we walked into, and so we have to follow the things of God, no doubt. But some things, when they're not doing things based on the word of God, then we have, what's the word? We have some ways of escape, if you will. But if we're lining up with the things of God and we're where we're supposed to be, God knows who we are to be in authority under, or whose leadership we should be under and follow. And so when we are under the designated authority, the people that God has designed to be over us, then we must obey. We must be respectful, and we must pray for them and acknowledge God, and hopefully praying that they are in the same mindset to give their hearts and minds to God, so that they too will be obedient to his authority, so that it just flows down. But what happens when we're not operating in the authority that God has? Well, there's challenges. And when there's challenges, there's usually sin, and there's usually troubles and things that we have to overcome. But if we just follow the word, there are so many examples in the word that gives us an understanding of what challenges and what consequences that these people had to follow. And it's much like we have to follow today. I mean, with the saying, there's nothing new under the sun. Not that's not technically written like that in the word. But basically, it reminds me too, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we think that some of the things that we're encountering, some of the things that God has appointed us to and that we're subjected to are all brand new, but they're not. The same enemy is coming to steal, kill, and destroy and to distract. And so you have to be mindful. So when God gives you an example or God gives you an a direct or a word by a delegated authority figure, it's important for us to be obedient. Now, it's funny, though, I used to teach many Sunday school classes, and, you know, and we get into the examples, and people are talking and sharing, and how dare they be disobedient to God, you know? That's why, you know, when they, the children of Israel, when they walked through the Red Sea, why some of those people, the sea closed them up, yeah, they deserved them, you know, when those people got thrown into the fiery furnace because they were being mean to Shadrach, Meshach, and how dare they be disobedient, but things we do the same things. We're just disobedient and rebellious as well. It just doesn't look as grotesque because we don't have a book that we're reading all of our discretion out. But praise God, there is a book, and we're going to have to give an account for everything that we do. But in the meantime, in between time, let's follow the example, the best example that we have is Jesus. He was subjected to his authority. Not only was he subjected to God's direct authority, but he was subjected to his delegated authority. He was obedient to his parents. He was obedient to the government officials during that time. He paid his taxes. He was obedient to the laws of the land when they didn't contradict God. But nevertheless, throughout his life, Jesus was subjected to authority, and he never rebelled on any occasion. He lived his life by the principles of obedience, and he prayed, and he got out of the way so God could be God. And so the most important thing that we can do to please God is to be obedient and to follow the example that Jesus made so that we can be obedient. The Apostle Paul says, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities to obey. That's Titus 3:1. And I thought that was fitting, and I thought, oh, well, that's a little scripture, maybe. But it's very fitting because I love the fact that how some of the scriptures from the different apostles and the different authors of the New Testament, it says that they said, remind them, or they're talking like in the first person, like remind the people to do blah, blah, blah. So he's saying remind them to be subject to rules and authorities and to obey because they know how important it was for the people at that time to be obedient, just as much as it is important for us to be obedient. And I like another scripture that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10:11-13. I'm going to read the King James Version first, and then I'm going to read the Message Version. The King James Version says, now, this starting with 11, now all these things happen unto them for examples. Remember, God gives us examples. He gives us all these cool, tangible things that we can see so that we can be obedient. But amen. And they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let them that think they standeth take heed lest they fall. There has no temptation taken you but such a common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above all that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make the way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now, I like that, but praise God, because of the B's and the vowels and the halves and all that, sometimes the words can kind of escape you. But I love the Message Version because it makes it plain and simple. Same scripture, 1 Corinthians 10:11-13, but this is the Message Version. There are all warning markers, danger, in our history books written down so that we don't repeat their mistakes. Our position in the story are parallel. They at the beginning, we at the end, and we are just as capable of messing up as they were. Don't be so naive and self-confident. You're not exempt. You could fall flat on your face as easily as anyone else. Forget about self-confidence. It's useless. Cultivate God confidence. Oh, Forget about, I'm going to say it again, forget about self-confidence. It's useless. Cultivate God confidence. Verse 13. No test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. He'll always be there to help you come through it. Whew. Amen. That gives me pause. Why? Because it means that God will not put nothing more on me than I can bear. Now, sometimes it seems like, oh, Lord, this scale is a little heavy on this side, and it looks a little lighter on the other side. I need a little help. But I like what verse, the end of verse 12 in the Message version says, forget about self-confidence. It's useless. Because I can be confident that, oh, I can handle this much work, or I can handle this much pressure, or I can handle this much stress because I know what I can handle. No, because at the end of the day, remember that Satan is coming to steal, kill, and destroy, and he is coming to entangle and entice you to believe that you are in control. Because there's nothing about self, amen, in the word. We have to be God confident because he said he would put no more on you than you could bear, so you got to believe it. And you got to know that some other promises that he made, that he will never leave you nor forsake you. And if that is the case, then, amen, there's no need for self-confidence because if you've cultivated God confidence, you're walking in the things of him in the first place, knowing that there are going to be some times you fall. I think sometimes we think we have to be perfect Christians because I know for a long time I used to believe that I had to walk a straight, narrow path because at any moment, the sky could open up and them trumpets could blow and I could be caught doing something wrong and I'm going to hell. Because that's what was kind of beat into me as a kid. But I learned over the years that grace and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And so that means God knows my heart better than I do. And God knows that if it ain't right too. So I don't want to make y'all believe to pray something just because you say that God knows my heart. He does know your heart. And he knows when you have a thirst and a love and a passion for him. And when you make mistakes, that he is there for you. And he will pick up the pieces and he'll push you on and have you move on and be in the things of him. And then there are times that we are pretending. And we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. How we're not really, we're doing it for show, but we're not doing it in our heart. And God knows that. So if you cultivate God confidence, he'll help you. Be confident in anything that you have to do because you're doing it to please him and not yourself. And so that goes into why you have to have the right mindset. And so when you have the right mindset, it's easier for you to pray and get out the way because you know who God is. And so I know I've shared these five little steps and I will continue to share them because it was amazing. That when I first really heard this, I mean, I had to get out of the bed because I was in the bed listening to it. It was 5 o'clock in the morning, and I just couldn't sleep, and God led me to listen to my past pastor. And I thought, why would I listen to him at 5 o'clock in the morning? But God was just pressing, dial. And God gave me these steps, and it was amazing. It was a revelation for me, and I teach them everywhere I go. That was many years ago, but I was grateful that God blessed me to understand that. You have to have this mindset. You have to know who God is. When you know who God is, praise God, it's hard to go anywhere else. You have to know him. And then you have to know that he knows who you are to him. When you know who you are to him, then it is easier for you to do whatever it is you have to do because you know your purpose. You know what you're supposed to do. You know your gifts and your talents. And you know that they were given to you for your purpose. And then when you operate and walk in your purpose, you don't have to fret. Before I used to do the broadcast, I was listening to one of my past broadcasts. I was going through some old files or something, or emails. And I saw one of my old radio broadcasts. And I used to write them down word for word. Because I was so scared and nervous, I was going to make a mistake. And when I looked back, I was like, wow, that was 8 years ago. And 8 years ago, I was so nervous. And so, my stomach would just twitch. I was before the broadcast, and I would freak out. I'm like, Lord, I just want to say the right things. I want to be right. And now, praise God, I can 5 minutes before the broadcast, I'm like, Lord, you ain't told me what I'm supposed to say, but hey, man, I ain't going to trip because I know you're going to give it to me. And I can walk in that confidently knowing because I know God has always has a word in my heart. I know who I am to God, and I know he will never leave me nor forsake me. And I know my purpose is to teach the word of God. And then the next one is I know I am protected. So I know that even when there's delays with the broadcast, when the lines are down and people can't dial in and all, I know that God is going to let the word go forth. I'm protected. And then the last one is I'm destined to win. I know that I'm going to do what God called me to do because I know who he is. I know who I am to him. I know what my purpose is. I know that I'm protected, and I know that I'm destined to win. If you have that mindset, when you go to pray, now there are times, praise God, and there's been times over this past year because I didn't understand why I had cancer and all the other stuff I had, that I had to really, like, really what they lay prostrate before the Lord and petition the Lord. But most of my time, I know that I can have this short comment conversations with God because we are constantly talking. I am constantly in prayer. And so I know that sometimes when I get caught up, and I'm like, Lord, you are right. You are divine. I'm just a breath. That's why my favorite scripture, I'm in the way. I'm going to get out the way because you're divine. I'm just a branch. And as long as I stay connected to you, I will bear fruit and that fruit will remain because I can do nothing without you. And so it's easy for me now to do certain things that I would never have done before because I know God is with me and I know he has me and I can get completely out of the way. And so when I get too stressed or I'm focusing on the wrong things, I'm grateful that I can pray and get out the way. It is necessary for us all to get to that spot where we can pray and just get, Lord, okay, I have this bill. I don't have this money in my account, but I'm believing and trusting you're going to figure it out and show me what to do. And whoever you come by direct authority or delegated authority, help me be obedient to it and move in the direction that you have me so that you said that you're going to provide a way of escape, and I'm believing and trusting in it. And I can go about my day and I trip about it. But when we try, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, I praise God you'll get distracted because the enemy knows how to come as a thief. As like the baby said, a thief in the night. He knows how to dress himself up and how to make himself look like, oh, wow, this is God. Oh, God sent this check in the mail. When we all know that that check was meant for whatever bill we've been praying for. But everybody's going to dinner, and I want to go, and so I just need a little bit of that money. God will give back to me. Those are the kind of things that we have to know, and we have to get out of the way, because when we are in the way, we'll allow our flesh to come upon us and help us make decisions that we go against God. So it is necessary. Know who God is. Know who you are to him. Know your purpose. Know you're protected, and know your destiny to win. Start with that mindset. And then it brought me to, like I said, those little P words that I had presented for, I had prepared for our last presenter last week, and we didn't really get to talk about them. And so when I was studying them, my own notes, hallelujah, came up of a sermon that I did last year, or 2 years ago, and I called it my P's. And so it was interesting when I found it. I was like, wow, Lord, these are almost the same P's. And so I pulled a little information for them. But for my sermon, my P's were potential, purpose, presence, provision, power, promise. And so the words that God gave me for tonight, or last week to share, that I'll get to share tonight, is presence, provision, power, and promise. So if you have to write them down, just write down presence, provision, power, and promise. This is how we get out of the way when we know that we need an answer or we need some authority or we need to recognize our authority in God. Is we have to understand his presence. We have to know that he's going to provide provision. We have to know that he has power and he has given us power. And then we walk in the promise. Amen. So let's start with presence first. So presence, what does presence mean? Presence means a person or a thing that exists or is in a present place but is not seen. So what does that mean? That we know that the presence of God is always. Because remember we said God had all authority. He can create everything so he can be everywhere, be at any time, at any place, whenever he needs to be. That is the coolest thing to me. I mean, I don't know if y'all really thought about that. He could be in Asia. He could be in Africa. He could be in Europe. He could be in Jonesboro. He could be in Atlanta. He could be in Lawrenceville. I mean, are you kidding me? He could be wherever he needs to be at the same time. Amen. If we don't know, that's power. But anyway, nevertheless, his presence. And the scripture God gave us for his presence is Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? I love when God gives us questions. Like, duh. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Why do we forget that? We get ourselves in a situation and then we forget, oh, I'm here by myself. Oh, I'm lonely. I'm afraid. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know how I'm going to get through. He said he will never leave us. Never. Be strong and create courageous. And so when people, I remember Fred Price, God bless his soul, he used to say all the time, he said, people think I'm arrogant. He said, but I'm not. I'm just confident. I'm confident that God said that he said what he said and he meant what he meant. And he said he would never leave me nor forsake me. I believe that. And when you really get an understanding of that, I believe that too. I have no fear no more. I used to be scared of the dark, scared of the devil, what he could do to me, what he could do to my children, because now I know I'm covered. Well, oh, Lord, maybe my children don't know, you know, garbage. Because I know that I can pray and ask God to cover them. And then I can teach them how to pray for themselves and God to come. God is everywhere, wherever. Be strong, be creative. Amen. I can get excited about that. His provision. What scripture did he give us for provision? Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. But why do we fret on we ain't gonna never have enough? Or I live just above broke. Or what did my guest say last week? We were working poor. I mean, saints, if we believe and continue to think that way, we'll have what we say. God said he knows the plan he has for us. Now, it may not be for you to be a billionaire or a millionaire or a thousandaire. Whatever your status is, it doesn't necessarily have to be funds, but you have good health. You are walking in your destiny, that you have everything, every resource that you need to perform whatever it is that you have. That's provision. Provision, even time is provision. We have time to go back to school. We have time to change things, to make things different. Because if we follow the plan that God has for us, he said his plan is to prosper us, not to fill our bank account. He said to prosper us. And then for us not to be harmed. And a plan that will give us hope in the future. So whatever your plan is, God's plan is for you. If his plan for you is to be a garbage man, amen, walk in it, because he has a hope in the future for you, because you may not know somebody on your route or somebody you work with. You could be ministering to them that they could do something that could change the world, change the could help, you know, lead people to Christ, win the Antichrist. You don't know what God's plan is. None of us do completely. We just have to follow the plan he has for us and be obedient, because our generations are counting on us to be obedient so that they can have the provisions that God has set for them. So it is important for us to seek God and ask him, what is my purpose? What is my plan? What would you have for me? And then help me get in line so that I can do what you called me to do. So I want to have a hope and a future, because that's the provision you said you provided for me. And then this is my favorite, that power. Lord have mercy. I couldn't decide. And I was like, Lord, I know you gave me 2 Corinthians 12:9. But can I please say my power scripture? And he said yes. So I'm going to do his first. He's 12:9. It says, but his answer was, my grace is all you need, for my power is greatest when you are weak. I am most happy then to be proud of my weaknesses in order to feel the protection of Christ's power over me. Now, that was something I had to live through when I had all that drama going on last year. because I couldn't hardly pray the right words because I just, my mind was just, I was overwhelmed in sickness and pain. But I knew you said to count it all joy. And so I had to count it all joy. And so every Monday night I was on this broadcast, hook or crook, whether I could breathe, whether I couldn't breathe, I was doing what God called me to do because I knew he had a plan for me and I was going to prosper. And for me, I can't speak for nobody else when anybody else would have done, but I knew for me that God gave me this broadcast, and so I had to be obedient to it, and he was going to give me whatever provision I needed and the resources I needed to sit at this table and share a word for those that was listening. Amen. And so because of that, praise God, I was able to walk in my scripture for power. Luke 10 and 19, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all of the enemy, all of the power of the enemy, and by, and nothing shall, I'm set over. I get excited when I read it. Praise God. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Where do you go with that scripture? Scorpions and serpents. And we know that those are deadly and poisonous creatures. But if God said that we could tread upon them, but my favorite is over all the power of the enemy. Now, I'm not telling nobody to go out there and say, okay, Satan, I got you. No. He gave us the power. But because, again, going back to that mindset, if you know God, you know who he is, you know who you are to him, you know your purpose, you know your potential, you know your destiny to win, and you walk in that, then by all means, you know that the power, when that doctor, or anyone even the doctor, it was the email in my, what do you call that crazy thing that they do now with the doctors, my email portal, my medical portal. I got that ding in the middle of the night that tumor that they found was cancerous. And I had nobody to call. But I knew in that very moment, God, I thought, Lord, really? Okay, I'm struggling with COVID or whatever this is that's in my body that's causing me problems. I can't breathe, can't walk, can't hardly do anything. And then now I'm reading through an email at 11 o'clock at night that I have possibly have cancer. What the world? But I remember that scripture, I have power over the enemy. Do you think I was concerned about cancer? Yeah, I was. I couldn't understand why I couldn't breathe, why I couldn't walk. But I was never, never shattered about cancer, ever, because I knew God was going to take care of me, because I knew he told me my provision, and he told me my purpose, and none of that had come to pass. And so, amen, all right, Lord, I guess this is another part of my testimony. Because you got to help me, because you said in your word that nothing shall by any means hurt me. Are you kidding me? No. I wasn't going to walk in that. Although, I did what God called me to do. And in the midst of that, I'm a speaker for the Cancer Treatment Center. I mean, I've had several articles written on me and the promises that I believe God trusted me to. I know the president of the whole Cancer Treatment Center of America, and I know the people that they're merging with. I know that director from the City of Hope, and I know the president and CEO of Delano. God put me in a position. Why? Because I was obedient. And so, yes, did the enemy try to stir up some trouble for me? Probably. But to God be the glory. What the enemy meant for evil, it was all bread and butter for God because he put me in line. So praise God, I have the authority, keys, amen. And so even when people were like, Leah, why are you going back to school to get your doctorate? There's no point at 50 going back to school to get your doctorate. Amen. I knew that God said I needed to have my keys, to have everything lined up so when the door would open for the provision and his promise, amen. I'm about to release my book, and all of that gives me the authority now to walk in what he had for me. I didn't understand why I had to go through all the steps and all the changes I had to go through the life that I've led. But I do now, because had I not gone through all the steps and the challenges that I had to go through, I wouldn't be able to walk in authority, his authority, knowing who that authority I walk in. I walk in God's authority. Maybe somewhere along the path as these things had lined up, I'd have been, you know, Dr. Leah Killington, been really walking in it, and I'd have been, what is that scripture we read, self-confidence and not God-confidence. I want to be God-conscious in everything that I do. Why? Because I know that his presence is always there. I know that he will always have the provision for me. I know that I can walk in his power. And then, praise God, last but not least, his promise, his promise. And so I have two again. The one he gave me, of course, I'll start with that one, 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said again, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Oh, look, it's the same scripture. Amen. Isn't that the coolest thing? Didn't even recognize that, but praise God. That's how good God is. I just had a different version. But again, most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities than the power of Christ that rests upon me. I'm going to say that again. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities than the power of Christ that may rest upon me. So again, the promise is simple. I am made perfect in my weaknesses. And so when those told me to sit down and rest, and sometimes I do, I mean, I'm not going to be, you know, I have to walk in wisdom. But the times that I know when God's told me to move, you better believe I'm going to move. And when I know that God has told me to do something, he's going to provide the provision. I've never doubted that. Even in my weakest of my weakest days, when it's like, Lord, I just need to get enough strength to get to 9 o'clock. And if you get me to 9 o'clock, and how I have this burst of energy to get through the broadcast, and then praise God, I have to get back into bed. But nevertheless, I was able to follow the plan and the purpose that God had for me, and he will do that. But you've got to give the authority to him. And then my favorite promise scripture, and there are several promises of God through the Bible, so you got to find yours. But this one, and this one I heard for years. Remember, I told you I was really scared of the dark. I was scared of the enemy, and I knew that if I grew any closer to God, that the enemy would reveal himself. And so this scripture was given to me then, but it didn't have much power like Luke 10 and 19 did. But this promise is, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Now, years later, I added discipline, sound mind. So, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. What is fear? Fear is the false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. That's the acrostic, or I think that's what you call that. F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. God has not given us the spirit of fear. What has he given us? He's given us power. He's given us love. He's given us a sound discipline mind. That's a promise. So why are we walking around so fearful? Why are we afraid to minister to people? Is it because we have a lack of understanding? Then find a way to understand. That is our assignment. Our assignment is to share the gospel, to go to all parts of the earth and share the gospel. Is it your personal responsibility to go to Africa or to go to the uttermost of the earth? Maybe not. But you could do it in your own community. You could do it within your own family. It is our responsibility. One of the classes that I took when I was evangelizing was sharing Jesus without fear. And one of the main thing that I would say the theme of the book for me was, how is it that it's so easy for us to witness to strangers and we're fearful to witness to our family? So what are we really saying? We want strangers to go to heaven and our family to go to hell? That's scary to me. That why do we have that mindset? It should be easier for the ones that we love, the ones that we cherish, the ones that we hold true and dear to us, for them to have an opportunity to experience the joy and the love of Christ, than for us to ignore them and go to a stranger. And that's 2 Timothy 1:7, by the way. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Saints, we got to get it together. We have to understand the promises that God has given us. And because he's given us these promises, we have to know that he's always with us. We have to know that he will give us provision, and we have to walk in his power. If we don't, what can happen? Amen. You can fall victim to the hands of the enemy, and you can be enticed and entangled and develop your own confidence that you are running things. And like the Bible says, you will fall. Eventually, you will fall. And so we want to make sure that we recognize that we're part of God's workmanship, that we were created for his good works and his good purpose. And so he's preparing us that we should walk faithfully with him. For I even know that Romans 8 and 28 says, well, we all know that those who love God, all things work together for the good for those who are called to his purpose. He said he had a purpose and a plan for us to prosper, so we're part of his purpose. So now I like the other scripture that, you know, just for study purposes, is Ephesians 3 and 20. It says, now unto him who is able to do far more abundantly all that we can ask or think according to the power at work within us. He's working through us, through his direct authority or his delegating authority. We just have to be obedient. Amen. Well, you know, I could keep going and keep talking, but praise God, I know my sister will say, you went too fast, and I didn't get to write down all this stuff, so I'm just going to go through one real quick time that we have to overcome rebellion. The main principle, the authority that's going against God is rebellion, because we're trying to do things our way. And so the best way that we can get out of his way is to pray and have him help us get out of the way and to allow us to totally trust and follow him. And then he gave us the scripture to study from Paul, what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 11 through 13. That's 1 Corinthians 10, verses 11 through 13. And then having the right mindset, five steps. Know God, know who you are to him, know your purpose, know you're protected, know you're destined to win. And then the P's that we practiced on today was present, Joshua 1 and 9, his presence. Joshua 1 and 9, his provision. Jeremiah 29 and 11, his power. 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, and we also use that scripture for his promise as well. And then for the other two, my favorite for power was Luke 10 and 19. You can tread upon scorpions and serpents, so you don't have to run from roaches and ants and flies and bees. Oh, amen. Luke 10 and 19. And then the other promise scripture was 2 Timothy 1 and 7. I don't know why I say the one when I see the first scripture in the scripture, but it's 2 Timothy 1 and 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and a sound mind. And then, of course, I ended with my little notes that Romans 8 and 28 and Ephesians 3 and 20. Now, if you went too fast, like I said, you can always go back and listen to the recording. It loads up usually 5 minutes after we finish, and you can go back and listen to the broadcast again. But most importantly, I want you to always, 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 always know that God's grace is sufficient for all of us. Even Paul asked for God to take the thorn from his flesh 3 times. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. And so we got to know, no matter what we're going through, that we have to know that God will never leave us nor forsake us. And he will never put more on us than we can bear. And I promise you, I am a witness. I am a witness. And I'm going to end with this saying that Alice Walker said. She said, the most common way that people give up their power is by thinking that they don't have any. And so it is amazing that sometimes because of ignorance, we don't pay attention to what we have. And so I like that even in the movie, I told you I was watching the movie and got a little distracted. One of the lines that was said in there was pivotal, and I wrote it down because it's so true, too. It says, he was saying Americans in general because they were in Tibet, I think, or something. But he said, Americans, they have so much power but have little understanding of what to do with it. And that's just like the word we have so much power when we really unite and understand our purpose and our mission in the things of God and when we yield to God. But because we don't understand, we don't know what to do with it. We all have the power and the authority to do whatever God has called us to do. We got to get a better understanding. And so in Proverbs it says, in all you're getting, get understanding. You got to get understanding. And I promise you, things will manifest more than you could ask. You see how the words just all come together. Oh, I love the word. Love it, love it, love it. But tune in again next week where we'll have another inspiring word. This is Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, with the Power to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. Now, I always close the broadcast with my granny's favorite song. And I'm so excited that I got to see her this weekend. And praise God, if God say the same, I will see you again next weekend. Like I said, every praise belongs to God, and that's why I close the broadcast out for her. So please, 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 please make sure you do these three things. Well, four things. One, the topic. Pray and get out the way. But while you're praying, make sure that you start your day with prayer. Pray throughout your day and then end your day with prayer because God loves you and so do I. Be blessed and have a wonderful, wonderful evening.
Let me hear the worshipers! Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
One accord.